He to me. The church say amen. If you're happy to be alive, say amen. God is good, isn't he? God is a good God. And I'm thankful to I'm able to say he's my father this morning. Yeah, I'm a child of God. Amen. Are you a child of God? I hope you're a child of God this morning. There's some people who believe they're a child of God, they're not. You know you got to obey truth to be a child of God? Yeah, and that's what we believe in the churches of Christ. We just got to stay with the Bible, is that right? Speak what the Bible is speaking. Be silent where it's silent. Take no chances in going to heaven. The only roadmap to heaven is the Bible. And the Bible says a man got to hear the gospel if they want to be saved. Yeah, that's what this book says. You got to hear a gospel story. That Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. And that he was buried and rose again. And one who want to be saved must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. And that he did die for you and was buried and rose again. And a person who wants to be saved must decide to repent. Change your life. Amen. Change. You got to change some things to be saved. Hey, that's repentance. Got to make a decision. And then confess before men that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. And after that confession, you got to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And you too must have a death, a burial, and a resurrection in obedience to the gospel. And then it doesn't stop there. The Lord adds you to the body of Christ, the church of Christ. That's the only one you're going to hear us preach about. Not over here. Only one. It's only one in the book. The only one in the book. It make you wonder why people can't see just simple truth. Everybody believe in the one God. I don't understand why they can't see why God, in that same book, talked about his body, the church. And that bride is the church of Christ, the wife of the husband, who is Christ. I wonder why a person can't understand that. It makes you wonder why people can't see it. It's so simple. It's simple as 1 + 1 = 2. Amen. And when it comes to our soul, we just take anything, folks say. Go back to the book. The book said, Church of Christ, that's where you ought to be at. Yeah, that's where you ought to be at. The preachers who respect the Bible, that's the only one they're going to preach about. Amen. That's the only one you can preach about when you respect this book. And you know, a person who's honest and sincere and really want to be saved, you got to decide if you're going to believe this book or not.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what you want to do. When you believe this book, you got to believe in the Church of Christ. That's the only one in there. Yeah, it belongs to Christ. Somebody say, well, ain't nothing in the name. See, there you go. Them the kind of people miss heaven. It's something in the name. It's the salvation in the name of Christ. See?
Right.
See, but you thought I was talking about the Church of Christ was the name. That's not the name.
No.
You know that's not the name of the church. No, that just shows you who the owner of it is. Church of Christ.
Yeah. He owns it.
That's all. Y'all upset about a name and thing. You won't name your girl, little girl, Jezebel. But then you same focus, there ain't nothing in the name of church is a church. But you don't bit more believe that? No, I do. You know better than that. Make you wonder why smart folk make comments like that.
Yeah.
You really do. You're just justifying being lost. You got to go back to the book. I'm going to preach. I'm trying to come down out of them clouds. I just got out of the airplane. Still floating a little bit here. That all right? Just got back from UCA, Central Arkansas. Down in Conway, my daughter graduated from college. Praise in my name of Jesus.
Right.
No more tuition.
What a friend we have.
I'm so proud of her. I don't know what to do. That's my youngest daughter. My youngest daughter. Good thing about her, she never left the Lord. A lot of our kids sometimes leave the house and they leave the Lord. And as soon as they get out, and she didn't do that. She stayed with the church.
Right.
Amen. She's been faithful. Stayed with her, studied, and graduated. I was so proud of him, I didn't know what to do. Yeah, just feel good. And I got a special person in the audience today. That's my mama. Ain't got but one. You be happy about yours, I'm happy about mine. Where you at, mama? Raise your arm. I don't want her to have to stand up. There she is right there, just as sweet as she can be. Tough little short thing. Yeah, she always told her we don't get too big. I believe her, too. I believe she'd knock me out right now if I said something wrong to her. Yeah, just the kind of person she is. Just loving, but she was my mama. So happy to have her in the audience today with us. Amen. We lost our dad in September, but my mom is We're thankful for our parents. Amen. Y'all got good parents. Y'all be thankful for them. And let them know you love them. Amen. Yeah, we have a family call every Sunday just to get together, make sure we hear each other's voices. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. You don't get but one mama, and you don't get but one daddy. And when they gone, that's it. Yeah, so for some of our young folk, we're trying to get you to see, tell your mama you love her every once in a while. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Don't think it. Y'all want me to preach, don't you? Let's see. Acts chapter 2. That's where we're going to be at. Acts chapter 2. Now, we got about 100. Y'all turn there. I'm going to tell you one more thing. About 170 new converts since I've been here last year in September. And we're trying to find out them are babies in Christ. If you was just recently baptized, if you've been baptized in the last year since I've been here, we got a Brother Stroud. Where you at, Brother Stroud? Raise your hand. Stand up, Brother Stroud, so they can see you. And then this young man, this brother here going to help me. I almost said young man. Brother here going to help me out. What we're trying to do is make sure we know who you are, identify where you are, make sure you're in the proper classes. So you are babes in Christ. We want to give you special attention. So he's going to be set up out there in this, along with the keeper ministry today. So just go by there and let him check your name off. And so we'll know you're here. We're trying to make sure we find all 107. Then we're going to come back to the church. And if you were responsible for bringing a new convert, we're going to try to get these people. Amen. We don't want to just baptize them and lose them. All right? So we got a lot of work to do. And we're going to be doing a lot of things here to try to make sure we're in keeping with God's word. All right? So we have a table set up in the foyer. And there is going to be a placement. We'll place where you are. Make sure we know where you are. Make sure we got proper information. Make sure you're going to the proper classes. And then we're going to do everything we can to help you grow. Now, if a person want to grow, we can help them. If they don't want to grow, you can't help a person that don't want to grow. You just got to encourage them until they get ready. Is that good? Amen. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And verse number 36 is where we're going to pick up at. I hope you've enjoyed the book of Acts so far. Yeah. A great history book of the Church of Christ. And the Bible said, therefore, let all the house of Israel
know assuredly. That God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified,
whom you have crucified,
both Lord and Christ.
Read.
Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter.
When they heard that they had crucified that same Jesus, and they were pricked in their heart,
and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles,
men and brethren,
what shall we do?
What we going to do about killing Jesus?
That's what they wanted to ask.
Now, see, I wonder, I mean, you said, man, I don't know if God would ever forgive me. I don't think there's a worse sin you could commit than driving nails in the Son of God's hand. And these people were pricked in their heart, like some people need to be on this morning. Need to be pricked in your heart and let the word of God touch your mind, your heart. This is not this right here, but the heart. And the word of God prick your heart by Jesus dying for you and was buried and rose again. Suffering that death on the cross. They asked, what must we do? And Peter said unto them,
Repent and be baptized, every one of you,
in the name of Jesus Christ,
for the remission of sin.
Particularly the sin that they had committed was the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But they had to be baptized for the remission of sins, plural. And receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off.
Even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Read.
And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation.
Yourself. Now he looked at them people and he said, save yourself. I want to stay right there right for a minute. From this untoward generation. You got to understand, you got to want to save yourself before anybody can help you. Amen, somebody. You got to understand, to save yourself, you got to obey from the heart the form of doctrine which God told us that you must do in order to save yourself. Now, here's a problem I see today. Sometimes we talk to people about the truth and they're too worried about what everybody else going to think. about their family, especially their family. And they ask questions, well, what about my mama? She wasn't in the Church of Christ. What about my daddy? He wasn't in. What about my grandmother? What about my auntie? What about my, what about? Well, what about you? Amen, somebody. Now, I want to talk about that day. What about you? And some people won't obey the gospel because I don't know what my husband going to think. What about my wife? Well, I think Jesus need to talk to us a little bit about this thing this morning. Everybody turn to Luke chapter 14. Let's go over there just for a few minutes while I deal with this save yourself portion of this text. Now, the sermon title is they that gladly receive the word. I'm going to get to that. But I want to deal with, I think that it's appropriate that I deal with this right here. Because many of you done heard lessons from me, and you're not a member of the Church of Christ. Or maybe you even left the Church of Christ because you thought, thinking about mama was good. And I don't know why they all think that you got to be in one church to go. Let me tell you something about this. I don't know what they think, what they say. No, we're not saying what we think and say. We're telling you what God said. You have to take this up with him, just like your mama and your daddy and my mama and my daddy. But don't forget there was one father who gave his son for you. Jesus said it like this. And there were, verse 25, Luke 14, 25.
And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them.
Watch this, he said.
If any man come to me.
If anybody come, Jesus is speaking. If any man come to me.
And hate not his father.
Now watch this, he said. Now he said, hate not
his father.
Father.
And mother.
Mother.
And wife.
Wife.
And children.
And children.
And brethren.
Brothers.
And sisters.
Sisters.
Yea. And his own life also.
That look like family. And then he said, let me go beyond your family. And your own life. Amen. Your life. You say, I got a... What is he saying here? I'm going to tell you what he's saying. No, but he said, no, any man or woman who hate not who? Father, mother,
wife,
children, brethren, sisters, yeah, in his own life. See, some people understood the Church of Christ truth. You want to be a disciple, but you don't want to pay the sacrifice. You'll leave the church of truth because of your family. But Jesus said, if this person has a problem with picking me over his family, then he
cannot be my disciple.
Cannot.
Amen.
Cannot be. My disciple. So if you're not his disciple, then you can't have heaven. You don't get the street to go. You don't get the mansion. You don't get your robe. And you won't get your crown. We might well be straightforward. It's going to be quiet a little while this morning. Because these are things we don't want to hear. See, there's one thing about the graveyard. You can't go past the graveyard and talk to mama. Say, mama, is this true? If mama's dead and gone, ain't nothing we can do for your mama. Go to Mark, Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Let's go over there because the hate not may be a problem for the critics. They say, see, God is a God that wants you to hate.
He that loveth father or mother more than me.
Now here he said, this time he said, love more than. If you love mama more than, hate not means more. Love God, love your mama more than God. Read.
than me is not worthy of me.
Read on.
And he that loveth son
or daughter
more than me,
children,
is not worthy of me.
Overprotective parents will choose their children over God. But Jesus said they are not worthy. See that? Read.
He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me.
So let's go to Genesis chapter 29 now. Just dealing with this hate not. He said hate not. Then he said you gotta, if you love them more than me, you cannot be my disciple. Read on. Verse 30, 29:30. Genesis 29:30.
And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah.
Now he loved Rachel more than who?
Leah.
Leah. And he served
him. And he served him yet 7 other years.
Watch this. And the Lord.
And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated.
What?
And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated.
See, this hated is not an evil thing. It just means he loved Leah. Less. Or Rachel more than, or he loved Leah less than Rachel. So what Jesus is saying is that if you love your family more than, or you must love God more than your family, or you must love your family less than you love God. Y'all got that? So who you got to love more? God. Now if you think about it, who takes care of your mama? Who takes care of your father? Who takes care of your children? Who takes care of the parents? God. Let's just look at this. Let's look at this a little closer. Go to Matthew chapter 22 now, verse 36. I deal with this. You teach people the truth and they'll break down and cry on you. Man, they know they lost. They say, well, I just don't understand. I keep thinking about my mama. If a person find $1 million they tell you a treasure, it's in the field. You find a treasure, and it's in a closed-in fence. And you got to open the gate to go in and get the treasure. Let me ask you a question. Would you stand outside of the gate and look at it? Knowing you got a mom and dad at home poor and can't eat? Or if you really believed it in there, wouldn't you go in the yard, in the fence, where the treasure is at, get the treasure, and then take it back to you? Mama, you find truth when you come to Church of Christ. But you got to go in and get it before you can take it. Unless there's no value in truth to you. So if there's no value in truth, then you're not really worried about your own soul. Because you can't save yourself, much less save your mama. Because if the Bible is right, not only are you lost, your mama lost. But you won't take the truth to her. And then you want to tell me you love your mama. Nobody would ride in a car with a family and ain't know the car going to go over the cliff. Would you stay in the car? Well, mama's in the car, a cliff is a cliff. We all going over the cliff together. You wouldn't do that. You'd jump out of the car. Wouldn't you? Be honest. You know what many people's problem is? They don't believe the Bible. You can show them one church, but they don't believe one church. That's why they go home and say, well, it don't matter. Well, the problem is you don't believe in the book. If you don't believe in the book, you can't be saved. Because you have no faith. Because faith comes by what? Hearing by the word of God. And Hebrews 11 says, without that faith, it's impossible to please him. Listen to what the book says.
Master, which is the great commandment in the law?
What's the great commandment?
Jesus said unto him,
uh-huh,
thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul.
What you got to do?
And with all thy mind.
What you got to do?
Love the Lord thy God.
Love God.
With all
with
thy
everything
heart.
Everything you got. Read.
And with all thy soul and with all thy mind.
Read.
This is the first and great commandment.
Uh-huh.
And the second is like unto it.
Read.
Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Yeah.
On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
You got to love God and love your neighbor just like you love your own self. Amen. Now, what is our love motivated from? From the cross. See, the Father gave his only child for you. And he sat back and he watched him as they whipped him with a whip for you and your mama. And that father looked at his son, and you couldn't have did it. And you watched them beat your son. 39 saved one with a whip. And you watched them slap your son's face, spit in his face, put a heavy cross on his back, march your son up the hill, drop him in a hole after driving nails in his hands and his feet, and you the daddy. And you watch your son die on the cross for you, for us. It was your child. What if it was your child? Would it matter then? Makes you think, don't it? See, we worry about our parents, but the Father of Jesus, he made the necessary sacrifice so we could be saved. That was love. That's the point. God so loved you and me and my mama and your mama that he gave his son. His son, in turn, demonstrated his love by staying on the cross. He said, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where did the Father go? He left his son on the cross for you, your mama, my daddy, your daddy. Did he make a sacrifice? God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. That was commendation, a commendation. Did he have to do it? What made him do it? What do you want from us? You want to be my disciple? Love me more than your mama. You're not going to say hallelujah on this one. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to get some Church of Christ folk too. Because we'll put our family before. I'm going to get to that in a minute. See, what is God telling us? When you put me first, I'll bless your life. Let's go back to Luke 14 now. I'm going to stay there just a few minutes in the morning. Go back to Luke 14:26. If any man come to me, hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yea, his own life, he cannot be my disciple.
And whosoever doth not bear his cross
and come after me. Whoever of you don't bear your cross and come after me
cannot be my disciple.
In other words, there's a sacrifice made. You're going to have to pick up your cross. The main point, if you're not willing to bear your cross or do what's necessary to follow me and my commands, you cannot be. You want to save yourself? You want to be a disciple? You got to pick your cross up. You know what? Cross is a heavy object. And you know, there's some burdens in life that are really heavy. Yeah. You remember, that's why Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I what? See, you have to take some sacrifice. Some of us don't want to make no sacrifices. We don't want to bear our own cross. Sometimes part of bearing the cross is going home and saying, mama, you know, we got this thing wrong. We're supposed to take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. We take it once a month. Then you got to go before that father who gave his only son and explain why you didn't keep the command. This you do remember to me. Got to explain it to that father. And if I was him, you'd have to explain it to me too. You wouldn't even be welcome in my house. I done gave my child for you. And all he asked us to do was this you do in remembrance of me. And me ain't come around and say, well, I ain't once a month enough. I wonder about a man like that. And I often make the point is that why is it they'll take our money every Sunday? But they won't let us remember the Lord like he told us. You show me a church in Houston. They won't take your money every Sunday. But that same God would argue about taking the Lord's Supper. You got to love God more than you do that man you're listening to. See, my pastor ain't going to lead me astray. If your pastor teach something out in the Bible, he just led you astray.
Yes.
That's right. No, it's not a hallelujah sermon. Just got to talk about things like this, don't we? I'm still on the save yourself portion of that text. It's going to take an effort to make heaven your home. You're going to have to make some sacrifice.
That's true.
Then he said, verse 28, for which of you intended to build a tower?
Sitteth not down first and counteth the cost.
Notice what he used. Sitteth not down what?
First.
That word first is important. If you're going to build a tower, which one of you wouldn't sit down? This is Jesus, the master teacher, his disciples. He said, now listen here. Which one of you intend to build a tower, sit it now down first and do what?
Count the cost.
You want to go to heaven? You can't just attend in the church to get to heaven. You can't just do it your way. That's what we want. We want the easy road. Everybody go to heaven. Every funeral is not a homegoing celebration. That's what the world wants you to believe. In God we trust, but in the same constitution it says, tend the God of your choice. Which God do you trust? Constitution of freedom says, and listen here, we can tend any God we want, we can tend any church we want, and they put it on the dollar bill. That you serve, there's one God you trust in. They don't say gods on your dollar. It don't say that on your dollar. On our dollar. It said, in God we trust. You know why the men who originally wrote the Constitution knew there was only one God? But America wants freedom of religion. If we want to marry and have gay marriages, we can do it. We want to build a church and put whatever name on it. We want freedom to do it. But you didn't count the cost. You got to count the cost. Notice this. He said, whether he be sufficient to finish it.
After he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mark him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish.
And you know, we're talking about a new education building, expanding this place over here and all that. What would it look like, a leadership? We just throw a building and can't see how much it's going to cost. Just throw a building something. There wouldn't be no wisdom in that, would it? You know, we got Byron Winters, one of our engineers here. We selected someone who knew what they were doing. And we got some other men who know what they're doing on the committee with him, steering committee. Engineers and men who can understand design and structural designs and know how to calculate figures and understand that we have to do some things in order to count the cost before we can build. Amen. And we are saving money. So we got financial people thinking, man, not only are we going to build, but we got to be able to pay for this thing. Amen. And soon as we get it all figured out, we coming to you to help us pay for it. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. Yeah, they knew that was coming. Yeah, it's going to take some sacrifice. We can't build a building unless we make some sacrifices. Yeah, we're going to have to cut some areas, and we got to dig in deeper. We got to make some pledges. We got to do things because the cost is too great. But if you want it, you got to count the cost for it. Folk will laugh at us. We start building a building about halfway through. We say, well, man, we didn't know it was going to take that much. Jesus is making a good point. I'm going to apply it to us here in just a second. Or what king?
Going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000.
And this is king going into a war. He got 10,000 soldiers. Another one coming at him got 20,000. Is he in trouble? This boy going to get whooped, don't he? Yeah, he going down, him and all his soldiers. And Jesus gives the scenario. He said, now listen, Notice what he says. He shall sit down, sit not down, what?
First.
There's that word first again. There's some things you got to do first. He says, he counted whether he's able. Everything is second in this text. Jesus is teaching a lesson. Or else, while the other yet great way off,
he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace.
Now he said, meet him about halfway. Send some ambassadors. That's these mature men, a group of age, high-ranking men, go meet him and try to work a deal out, because I'm going to get a whooping. Work a deal out before he get here. That's what a king would do. He said, I'm outnumbered. Let's do something before they come kill us all. All of us as sinners are outnumbered. The wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is eternal life, and it cost the death of his son. You can't meet him halfway. We don't want the name of the church. We don't want the baptism to get us into the church. You're not even willing to meet him halfway to save your own soul. Well, you do. It's 20,000 against 10,000. You outnumbered. It's Satan against you, and you're doomed. Without Jesus, nobody go to heaven.
That's true.
Without his church, you don't go to heaven. Without Christ, you don't go to heaven. Without keeping his commands, you don't go to heaven. Without blood, you can't go. Without communion, you can't go. You can't go. You outnumbered. No, your mama can't go. And your daddy can't go. What are you saying, preacher? You got to love God more than him. Serve God. Obey God. Go get your mama. Help her too. Take the person who don't have too much pride. No, your mama can't save you. I'm glad my mama don't even think like that. She don't think like that. My daddy didn't think like that. No, they taught us to love God. Amen, somebody. You know what? I guarantee some of you who are kicking against the church, if your mama could have heard it for herself, she would have obeyed it.
That's true.
Surely she would have obeyed it. And then some of you done left the church of Christ. You know the truth. Snubbed your nose at God. You're going to get it. He's coming to get you. Because it's better than had you had not known. It's better that you had never heard it than to hear it and leave. Yeah, you're going to have to surrender. You might as well give up your pride and say, I got to get it right. If I was you, I'd get it right. Amen. What are you saying, Brother Brooks? Save yourself. Save yourself. He says this.
So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple.
Likewise. You know what he says? So likewise. Likewise what? Just like the one not willing to carry his own cross cannot finish cross the finish line. Mm-hmm. Just like the builder who don't count the cost, they won't finish. They'll lose. Just like the king who don't consult, he's doomed, he's going to lose. You will too. Amen. And he said, or whosoever. In other words, you, your mama, my mama, your daddy, my daddy. Me, you. Whosoever. Don't leave nobody out. Now, here's the question. You putting your family first? Can I be a disciple? Members of the church who say they're a disciple. Here's some things I hear. One of your members, a family of yours is sick. You don't worship. Well, you tell us, they say things like this. Well, you know, my dad is sick, and so I'm staying at home with him on Sundays. But Monday through Friday, you at work.
Help us, preach.
Your daddy not too sick for you not to go to work?
Amen.
Come on now. Come on now. So you know, in your mind, you're okay with it. God understands. No, God wants you to put him first. And where I came from before in the church. Yeah. You know, they say things like, when family members are coming in out of town, say, I ain't seen them in a long time, Brother Brooks. What I'm going to do? And your point. Here God done saw them travel all the way from wherever they were traveling to your house safely. And then on Sunday, you're going to stay home and spend time with my family because I ain't seen them in a long time. No, you know what you tell your family? Hey, y'all, let's get up out of the bed. Thank God he got you here safely. Let's go worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what you do with that. And then if they don't want to go, you say, you just make yourself at home. I'm going to worship my God. I'll be back when I finish. What are you saying, Brother Brooks? It's going to cost you something. It will cost us something to get across. To save yourself, it will cost sacrifice of your family, sacrifice of your life, sacrifice of your time. Carry your cross. Never give up. Never quit. And don't expect it to be easy. People are not going to agree with the truth. Don't you know that? He already told us wasn't but a few going to make it. The way of truth is straight and narrow. Only a few people find it. And when you find it, you got to stay with it. You can't run from it. Amen. Well, it don't sound right. Well, what do you mean it don't sound right? What do you mean by that? It sounds just as right as it's wrote, right? I mean, you think about that. If you say the Bible's right, then you say it don't sound right. Well, you talking out both sides of your mouth. Quiet at Holland Heights today. Let's go back to Acts. I had to deal with that because, you know, I taught a lot of class, and at the end of the class, the person, they know everything I taught them, and they say, well, I keep thinking about my mama. Man, go save your mama. That's what I say to do, don't you? Go get them. Go get your family and save them. Teach them the truth. Verse 41, they that gladly receive, here's the problem right here.
His word were baptized. Same day there were added unto them about 3,000
souls. Now,
who
get baptized? What kind of people? Glad people, mad people?
Glad.
Yeah. See, a lot of times you teach truth like this, folks get mad. Well, you can't save yourself doing being all mad and puffed all up. You're mad at God. These people had crucified Jesus. They say it was about 1 million people that day. You know there's only 3,000 out of the million? Gladly received their word that they had to do. How did they receive it?
Gladly.
Not mad. See, now when you get the truth, you don't have nothing to be mad about. And people who are going to be saved must be glad when they hear truth. They gladly received the word of what?
Baptized.
And we add unto them how many?
3,000.
3,000 souls. Notice what he says.
And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread in prayers.
I want the part where it says that same day. What did he say, same day? It was added unto them by 3,000
souls.
So, when? What day?
Same day.
Not 2 weeks later. I grew up in a missionary Baptist church called Macedonia down in Hempel, Texas. Those of you from Southeast Texas understand that that's where black people went to church. All of us were missionary Baptists. We were missionary Baptists because our mama was missionary Baptist.
That's true.
And mama was missionary Baptist because her mama was missionary Baptist. And her mama was missionary Baptist because her mama was missionary Baptist. Not because missionary Baptist in the Bible. Because there is not a missionary Baptist in the Bible. There is not a Baptist church in the Bible. It ain't in the Bible. It never was in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. It ain't going to be in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. There's no Baptist church in the Bible. So what was I in? Now, you said, don't talk about me. I'm talking about me then. Let me talk about my family. When we went down to be saved in the Missionary Baptist Church, we were saved when we accepted Jesus in our heart. Nobody in the Bible accepted Jesus in their heart to be saved. We went to a pond owned by a man named Man Wynn. I don't know if that's his real name or not. I don't know if we said, hey, where are they going to baptize that? Man Wynn's pond. Got baptized in a pond, but they didn't baptize us the same day. They baptized us 2 weeks later. You want to know why they baptized us two weeks later? Because in the missionary Baptist church, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. We baptize as an outward sign of inward belief. We do it so other people can see we did it. Not because God commanded it. So if you were baptized 2 weeks after you went down to be saved, you're still lost. Like I was. And like my brother was. And like my grandmother was. And like your grandmother is. And like my grandmother is. According to the Bible. And somebody mad about that. They that gladly received this word were
baptized.
And the same day.
Same day.
Now that's just where it is. You know, ask the preacher, he'll tell you they don't believe baptism. You have to be baptized to be saved. But if that's the case, Jesus didn't understand what he was commanding us. He came in Matthew 28:18, he said, go teach all nations, baptizing them. Mark 16:15, go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved. Christ didn't know it himself. 1 Peter 3:21, he said, like figure baptism does also now save us. The apostle Peter didn't know it either. What's the problem with people today? Amen. They hear a preacher like me and they don't want no more, don't want to have nothing else to do. See, you're not mad at the messenger. What you're mad at is the message. The message doesn't fit what you want to believe. And it costs you something to be a disciple. You can't just do what you want to do. You have to do what the word say do. He says, and they that gladly received the word were baptized, the same day were added unto them by how many souls?
3,000 souls.
And they continued steadfast
in
what?
In the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers.
And the apostles' doctrine is the doctrine or the teachings of Christ.
Amen.
So when you read the New Testament, what Paul taught is what Christ taught.
That's right.
What Peter taught is what Christ taught. So anytime you say you're following Christ, you got to do what the apostles said. Say they continue steadfast in whose doctrine? The apostles' doctrine. 2 John 9 says, whosoever transgresseth abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, have not God. Amen. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ have both the Father and the Son. So the only way you can do what teachings of Christ, you have to do what the apostles said do.
That's right.
Call the apostles doctrine. Not only do they do that, notice this. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and what?
Fellowship.
Interesting. You're saying once I become a member of the church, I got a fellowship with them?
And fellowship.
Really? Goodness gracious. Isn't that something? Man. I wonder why some of our members spend more time away from here. I see you sneaking out the side door. See? Yeah, see, we all spend 8 hours on the job with the man. Right? But you come here, man, don't let me preach over 45 minutes. That's too much fellowship. And all the preacher for. We started 9, finished 11. I preached the whole 2 hours. You know that's a lie. It was just too long for you, wasn't it? Too much fellowship, huh? And as soon as it's dismissed a prayer, hey, can I go? We don't want no fellowship. What are you saying, bro? We're a family. The time the family have to, you know, sit down together, talk together, stay together. I want to drop this one on y'all too, okay? We have a family member come up to the mic and say, you know, I'm going through some things, you know, I got a family sickness, or my child is in the hospital, my mom is in the hospital. And when you come up here and ask us to be for you, you want us to rally behind you and pray for you. So when you are not here and we requesting it, is that right? Huh? When it's your family, you want us to be there for you. But you're not willing to stay around to see what's going on with our families. I wonder about that disciple. See, because the disciples in the Bible, they stayed in the apostle doctrine and they fellowship one with another. Some of us can't wait to get out of here. And don't talk about staying around for a Bible class afterwards. Oh, man, Bible class. Another study? Ain't 9 o'clock enough? And please don't start preaching that old false doctrine by coming back at night. See what happens when you don't put God first? Something else comes second. See, man, I'm going to tell you something. Don't matter who the person is, I will never back down on that. I know this. If you put God first, you got a chance to make heaven your home. Putting it second, you cannot be his disciple. Cannot. Fellowshipping. Slow down, Highland Heights. Don't be in such a hurry. Spend some time with your family. You're going to need them. Amen. Death's coming to your family. Trouble is coming to your house. And you're going to need the church. Amen. That's why we have a church family. Amen. And not only will you need us, we need you. Amen. You know how encouraging it is to have somebody encourage you when things are not going good in your life? Amen. Don't that make sense? I'm not fussing, but it needs to be said. I guess I am a little bit. Let's close this out. And fear came upon what?
Every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles.
Read.
And all that believed were together and had all things common.
Yeah.
And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need.
Read.
And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
You know, they did this thing on a daily basis. It wasn't just once a week either. They spent some time during the week with each other, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Not just on Sundays. Did they? What did it say?
Daily.
They continue what?
Daily.
In one accord where? In temple, breaking bread from what?
House to house.
They was having meals together. Isn't that good?
It is.
Then he says, praising God. Who's praising God? Those people who gladly received his word. Those people who were baptized. Those people who won a car. Those people who believed. Those people who had all things coming. Those people who sold their possessions and goods. Those people who made sacrifices. Those people who left their families. What were they doing? Praising God.
Praising God.
And had favor with what?
All people. The people.
And then what happened?
And the Lord added them to the church daily. As such, or such as should be saved.
Now, okay, let's just stop with that one. That's the last verse. This is easy, isn't it?
It is.
Let's make an illustration. Now, where were the saved people at?
In the church.
It's easy. How many churches?
One.
You remember Noah's Ark? Uh-huh. How many boats were there?
One.
Who it belonged to?
Noah.
How many people were in it? Let's go see. 1 Peter chapter 3. In verse 20. I'm closing. 1. There was one boat.
For which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water.
It was 8 souls, only a few souls in the boat. How many boats?
One.
This time, he said, the saved are in the church. Where the saved at?
In the church.
How many going to be in there? They go to Luke 13, Luke chapter 13.
Okay.
What did he say?
What verse?
7:13, Matthew 7:13. That's the area where I want. In the straight gate. That's where I want. Yeah. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is gate and broad is the way to lead destruction, and many go that way. But straight is gate and narrow is the way that lead to life,
and few there be that find it.
What a few going to be at?
In the church.
What they going to be? Saved? Where they going to be saved at? In the church. Which church?
Christ's church.
Who died for it? Christ. Matthew 16:18 says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Which church?
Christ's church.
Whose church?
Christ.
Who died for it?
Christ.
Whose church is it?
Christ.
Who died?
Christ.
Whose church?
Christ.
Which church? Church of Christ. Romans 16:16, salute one another, holy kiss. Churches of Christ salute you. Some of you husband and your wife been bringing you here over and over, trying to get you in the church where the saved people are. That's why she's been bringing you up here. She praying, been praying that you would get up. And you just shaking your fist at them. I ain't going. Okay. Wives doing the same thing. Husband, I'm brought praying, praying right now, praying that I'm saying something going to touch you. You got family members in the church. You either haven't been baptized yet in the Church of Christ, or you was in the Church of Christ and left the Church of Christ, and your family begging because they know that's the truth. That's the truth right there. And you can't deny it's not truth and say you believe the Bible. It's still true. Go to Luke chapter 5. So, man, God can bless you if you keep his word. When God's word said, people who gladly receive it, they holy. As I close, I want to share with you that Jesus died for you and was buried and rose again. Amen. And there are some blessings come when we... How many of you want some blessings this morning? Amen. Want some blessings? God can pour some blessings out on you when you gladly receive his word. Amen. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. Listen, start at verse 1 now.
And it came to pass,
as
the people pressed upon him people to hear pressed the word upon of him. God.
Hear what?
The word of God.
Hear what they came to hear.
The word of God.
The word of God. See, what did you come this morning to hear? The word of God. Read. See, now people want the word of God. They're glad when they hear the word of God. Read.
He stood by the lake of Gennesaret.
Yeah, read.
And saw two ships standing by the lake.
Talking about Jesus.
But the fishermen were gone out of them.
Yeah.
And were washing their nets.
Uh-huh.
And he entered to one of the ships.
Yeah.
Which was Simon's.
Yeah.
And prayed
now,
him.
Let me give you the story. Jesus stood on the shore. And he seen some ship, and he entered in one of the ships. It was a fisherman. Fisherman's name was Simon, better known as Peter. And he get on Peter's boat. And he told him to take me out a little farther from the ship, because there was so many people there, they wanted to hear the word. So he went out and used the ship for the pulpit. Amen. So he could preach to the multitude on the shore. And we're right about this thing. What are you getting ready to preach? The word of God. What they want to hear? The word of God. What's going to save them? The word of God. What do they need to hear? The word of God. What they need to believe? The word of God. Who preaching? Jesus. What are you preaching? The word of God. Who was saved? They that gladly received his word. Watch the book now.
And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land.
Yeah.
And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship.
See that? I told you I was in part of your pulpit. Sat down in the ship preaching. Jesus, the master teacher on the ship, preaching. You see that, Doc? Watch this. That's a good text right there. Read.
Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon.
When he did what?
Left speaking.
Left speaking. Read.
He said unto Simon.
Yeah.
Launch out into the deep.
He said, go out there a little deeper, Peter.
And let down your nets for a draw.
Put your net down. Let's see if we can catch some fish.
And Simon answered and said
unto
him.
Now watch Peter. Watch Simon say.
Master,
he said, Lord,
we have toiled all night and have taken nothing.
They done been out there. See, people were coming in from fishing all night long. And he said, Jesus, hold on, Lord. Something you don't know. We've been out there all night.
And have taken
nothing. I
know
you wanted to preach these folk. Man, we done tried this fishing trip. This just ain't the day to catch no fish. We've been toiling all night long. And we ain't catch nothing. Read the book.
Nevertheless, at thy word.
They that gladly received the word. Peter said, nevertheless.
At thy word, I will let down the net.
Even though we didn't catch no fish last night. I'm going to go out there where it's deep at. At your word. I'm going. At your word. That's what he says. He said, I know we didn't catch nothing, but nevertheless, because the master said it. That's what folk need to do today. When they hear the word of God, I know that I ain't in the church of Christ, nevertheless, because Christ said it. Amen. That's where I'm going to be. I know I've been baptized before, but nevertheless, because I didn't take the Lord's at his word, I'm going back down there again. I'm going to get it right. Nevertheless. Nevertheless, no matter what my mama did, nevertheless, at his word I'm going. Nevertheless, that's your word.
I will let down the net.
He said, I'm going to let it down.
And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish.
Look at
and their net break.
Man, when you do what the Lord said, he'll give you more than you want. Man, we fished all night long, Lord. He said, never less of your word. And the Bible said, when you let the net down, it cost so many, the net couldn't hold them all.
That's right.
Broke the net. Lord, then start blessing him. How he got his blessing?
Obeying the word.
Because when God told him to move, he moved. Yes, sir. And then look at here. Watch this.
And they beckoned unto their partners.
He said, man, y'all come help us. We got too many fish.
That were in the other ships.
Other ships.
They should come and help them.
Other ships said, come over and help us, y'all. We got too many fish. Watch what he said.
And they came and filled both the ships.
Now watch this. Here come the blessing. Don't miss your blessing.
They filled both the ships so that they began to sink.
Ow!
That's a lot of fish.
Yeah! So I see, when you do his word. At his word. And when they kept his word, he caught enough fish. And not only did he break his net, but when he called for help, they filled the ships up and they sank. What's the message? When you keep God's word, he can bless you more than you can give him. He'll bless your mama. He'll bless your sister. He'll bless your children. He'll bless your house. He'll bless your bank account. He'll bless everything you touch. Yes, sir. If you just keep his word, I'll bless you. Going home, I'll bless you. Coming back, I'll bless the city you live in. I'll bless your food on your table. I'll bless everything if you just keep my word. Keep my word. I'll bless you. When the doctor give up on you, I'll bless you. I'll send so many blessings. It'll sink your ship. Just keep my word. Yes, Holland Heights, you want a blessing? Yes, keep his word. Amen. Keep his word. I want a blessing. I don't know. I need a blessing in my house. Don't you? Amen. Here's the way you get a blessing. You keep his word. That's good stuff right there. God damn it. Look at that. That's good, man. Somebody want a blessing this morning back in the back. I know you want a blessing. Amen. Somebody came today. You got troubles. You got tribulations going on. You got all kinds of things going on in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your home. You got situations in your body. You're dealing with something. Financially, you're dealing with something. And God is saying, in my word, come unto me. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll be the one to give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. He said, preacher, I need that blessing this morning. Just tell me what the word of God say. See, you're a candidate, see? You're a candidate. You're kind of like old Simon. I done tried everything else, preacher. I done been from church to church. But now I hear his word. And his word says in Mark 16, Jesus said, go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved. And when I preach the gospel, I preach what Paul preached in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Where he said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you.
And wherein you stand.
Wherein you stand, by which also you're saved.
If you keep in memory what I preached unto you,
unless you believe in vain.
For I delivered unto
what
you.
What do you
first
preach
all,
to a man? The first thing you preach to him.
Which I also received.
Which Paul said he received. How did Christ
died for our sins.
For our sins according
to the scripture.
To the scripture.
And that he was buried.
Number two, you must believe that he was buried.
And he rose again the third day.
According to the word of God. Amen. You believe that gospel story. And you say, I want to change today. I want to be a better mother, father, child to my mama. I want to be a better man to my wife. I want to be a better daddy to my children. And you know, you have to gladly receive the word. And you say, Brother Brooks, I've been toiling all through life. I've had ups and I've had downs. And every time I turn around, I take one step forward and one back. At some point, you got to stop and say, I repent. I'm going a different direction in life. And confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And he said, if you'll confess me before me, and I confess you before my Father. But if you deny me, I'm going to deny you. Then you got to be baptized. What is baptism for?
Remission of sins.
Washing away the sin. The old man is dead on the cross he carried. Bear your own cross. Remember that? That old man is buried with Christ. Under the water you contact the blood of Jesus. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. And wash that blood away. That was sins away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you receive that gift. What is it called? The Holy Spirit. It comes into you when you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And then when you come up out of that water, you've been born again. The Lord adds you to the body of Christ, the church of Christ. Who going to receive the word? They gladly received it. We're baptized. So if you're here today, have you gladly received the word today? You said, preacher, I needed to hear this. I need my blessings. I want my ship to sink. I said, why don't you do like Peter then? Say, nevertheless, Lord, at your word, if you do that, God will do the rest. Amen. You drop the net, God will do the rest. Amen. That's all he told Peter. Go out to the deep, told him where to go, and he told him what to do. Go to the deep, drop your net. What'd he do? He went to the deep, and he dropped his net. What'd he tell you to do? Hear the gospel. Believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus be the Son of God. Then drop your net in the water. And see some blessings come up with you. Amen. Yeah. Be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Now here we're getting ready to do it right now. We want to know who's going to come. Those who are not members of the Church of Christ. We beckon you to come. To be a member of the body of Christ. Amen. Be saved today. Amen. Those who were in the Church of Christ. But you left. Come home. Come home. Amen. Come back and drop your net. Be glad about the word. Those who were baptized before, but you're not, when you were baptized, you did not become a member of the Church of Christ. You must be baptized again according to truth. Amen. And then the Lord would add you to the body of Christ, the Church of Christ. And there you live faithful unto them and receive your crown of life. Right? Amen. Members should come home. Members should come home. Visitors, this is your time to come. We're getting ready to sing hallelujah, is that right? Amen. That hallelujah song means highest praise to God. And somebody's family is going to get blessed today. Because I know somebody's going to come. We're going to do this right now. We don't want no unnecessary walking unless you're coming forward. Please, let's respect this time as we invite them to come to the Lord. As together we stand and sing the song of encouragement, please come. Come on to the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Come on and get your blessing this morning.
Hallelujah.
Come on and get your blessing. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. Come on to him. Come on to him.
Hallelujah.
Come on and get your blessing this morning. Lord, at your word I come.
Hallelujah.
I gladly received it this morning.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What a friend we have.
What a friend.
In Jesus.
Wouldn't you come this morning?